You take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 33, verse 12. I want to show a couple of verses to you before we begin. Psalm 33 and verse 12, familiar verses, but I do want you to look at them. Psalm 33, please, and verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Now, that's a very important little phrase there. Underline the little phrase, "chosen for his own inheritance." Inheritance. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14, please, and verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. In Proverbs 14, verse 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And I want you to listen carefully as we discuss this morning the subject, the ruination and salvation of a nation. The ruination and salvation of a nation. And I want everybody to listen carefully this morning, and let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Father, please help us. I pray every young person would sit up straight, pay attention, and not talk. I pray that every young adult, every teenager would sit up straight and listen. Every college student. I pray we'll all listen this morning. And oh, how we love America. How we love this great nation. I can't imagine anyone living in such a great nation and not being thankful and grateful. Thank you for America. Father, thank you for Jesus, for the liberty that you have given us, and for that liberty we have in this great nation to worship you. Holy Spirit, talk to us now this morning. In Jesus' name we ask for your help. Amen. Now sit up straight, put your pen down, and want you to listen to me. I'll tell you when to write. The Bible teaches patriotism. And patriotism was the light that burned in the hearts of the faithful in the midnight gloom of the Dark Ages. It was the torch that lit the fires of our Baptist forefathers. It was the torch that lit the fires of the Reformation. It was the rock upon which Western civilization was founded. And if our civilization survives the cancer of lust, it will be Christian patriotism. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me now. Everybody look at me now. Listen. Now. Put your pen down. Everybody sit up straight and listen to me now. It will be Christian patriotism that will fuel the lamps of truth and provide the miracle for the fight for freedom. America has many privileges, but it also has many great responsibilities. Our freedom was obtained at a great price. Our first responsibility is to God, but we are duty bound to our beloved nation. Psalm 13:1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God's, the power that be ordained of God." Sir Walter Scott struck a note of true Christian patriotism when he wrote this poem, and I want you to listen to it. "Breathes there a man with souls so dead, who never to himself hath said, 'This is mine own, my native land,' whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned from wandering on a foreign strand. If such there breathe, so go mark him well. For him no minstrel rapture swell. High though his titles, proud his name, boundless his wealth, his wish can claim. Despite those titles, power and pelf, the wretch concentrated all to self. Living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung." If you don't love America this morning, then you could just leave America this morning. We enjoy the benefits of a land founded in faith, baptized in blood, and dedicated to the freedom of worship. Because of our giving God his rightful place at the outset of our national life, God smiled and gold poured out of the rocky crags of the Golden West. God smiled, and the picturesque hills of the east yielded black gold and simple abundance to warm our hearts and turn the wheels of industry. God smiled, and the automobile, the airplane, and 1,001 industrial miracles took place before our very eyes. God smiled and has seen to it that old glory has never dipped her colors to any atheistic, God-hating, man-enslaving country. God smiled, and our scientists brought into being the atomic and nuclear bombs, which were destined to be those paradoxical instruments of destruction to save man from destruction. But I don't seem to recognize the America of 1994. It doesn't seem to be the America that I knew. America was not founded by these liberals of our day. America wasn't founded by the God is dead crowd. America was not founded by the liberal educators of our liberal state universities who believe you came from a monkey. America was not founded by the adult bookstore crowd. America was not founded by the nude restaurant owners on Highway 80. America was not founded by Mr. Anderson, who moved from Dallas because he had a little girl and wanted to move her to a conservative town. And so he came to East Texas because he said he didn't want that quote, slut crowd from Dallas getting a hold of his own daughter. So he opened up the chicken ranch out here off I-20 where prostitutes, so he could ruin our daughters and our sons, while he says himself he doesn't even want his own daughter involved in that. America was not founded by Mr. Anderson's crowd. America was not founded by the Playboy magazine crowd. America was not founded by the penthouse lustful crowd. America was not founded by the Hollywood movie sex craze crowd. And some of you who buy tickets to keep it going, America wasn't founded by you. America was founded by a group of people who met in Scrooby in northern England with Pastor James Robinson, who said, quote, "We would rather die and be free than have security and be bound." America was founded by people who went to Holland, and then, not finding what they wanted in Holland, 102 people boarded the Mayflower and sailed from Holland to America. And they sailed for 65 days and buried 4 of their 102 at sea on that journey. America was a Mayflower compact with the prayer of, "O God, our Heavenly Father, we bless Thee for having brought us over this vast and furious ocean and to this new world." What was America? America was 100 people or so who landed and read Psalm 107, verse 1. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." What was America? America was a meeting at Plymouth with Pastor Brewster and a handful of people in a little 20 by 20 building. What was America? America was a land that was founded by a group of people who lost 6, the first 6 of their own, the first month that they were here, and whose every family tasted death during the first winter they were here. America, what was America? America was a country that when the Mayflower returned, only 5 women, 20 men, and 27 children remained. They stood with tears streaming down their cheeks, but with faith in God, they said, quote, "We would rather be free than to go back to slavery. We'll give our lives for freedom." America, what was America? America was that first Thanksgiving when 90 Indians and 55 pilgrims read Psalm 103. What was America? America was that Thanksgiving in 1621 when every American citizen got his ration of food for that day of 5 kernels of corn. Unfortunately, there are 2 Americas now. There's a godly America and there's a godless America. There's a pagan America and there's a Bible America. There's a Christ-centered America and there's a heathen America. There's a decent America and there's an indecent America. There's a Playboy doctrine America and there's a Bible-believing doctrine in America. Psalm 14:34 said, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, let me give you several points, and we're going to go to the house. First of all, number one, God requires righteousness of a nation. Now, don't miss this. Don't talk now. You listen to me now. God requires righteousness of a nation. Yes, it's true, God requires righteousness of an individual. But God says plainly that He requires righteousness, according to Proverbs 14:34, righteousness of a nation. When God gave the Ten Commandments, He did not give them to individuals. Guess what He did? He gave them to a nation. Now in Georgia, they're saying they can't put up the Ten Commandments in the courthouse down in Atlanta, Georgia. And can I tell you something? Those Ten Commandments were not given to a church. They were not given to a family. They were not given to an individual. Those Ten Commandments were given to a nation. And ladies and gentlemen, any nation that does not want the Ten Commandments, does not want the jurisprudence of which our law is based, and we have no law if we have no Ten Commandments. Somebody help me out. To that nation, God said, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God's Decalogue, or God's great system of laws, passed through Moses to a nation. Don't you forget that. To a nation. God does not just require righteousness of an individual, but of a nation. Number two, there are such things as national sins. There are such things as national sins. And so God said, I've given this nation a responsibility to be sure it's a righteous nation. And then God said, there are such things as national sins. We speak much about the sins of individuals, but the Bible speaks much about the sins of nations. For example, imagine the various sins of certain sections of the world. The most predominant sin of the English-speaking world is drunkenness and nudity. That's it. Oh, yeah. It's the most prevalent of the English-speaking world. England has her pubs. In America, the pup, the little bear, the little cub from England has her bars and taverns. The Eastern world, there's the predominant sin of idolatry. I could go on and on. In the Western world, men have made with their hands gods of wood and stones and silver to replace their god. The communist nation's predominant sin is atheism. They say the Bible's not true. They say that Jesus is not divine. And ladies and gentlemen, there are national sins. And America is going to answer for her alcohol, her drugs, her dope, and her nudity. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think America is going to get away with her sin, you're wrong. She'll not get away with her sin. Number three, there's such a thing as national decay. Not only national sin, not only the fact that God requires righteousness of a nation, but there's such a thing as national decay. We don't interpret the Bible in light of history. We interpret history in light of the Bible. Babylon fell. Rome fell. The Grecian Empire fell. Great Britain was the world power at one time, blessed of God. But today she's just a common power. And for us to think that we as America, hey, listen to me, we're not going to get away with it. America will. Look at all the holidays that they had in the Roman Empire and all the holidays you're pushing for and your company's pushing for. We don't want to work anymore. We want to be a bunch of lazy bums and live off welfare. Well, somebody's got to make the money to pay the welfare. The nation's in trouble. Number four, there's such a thing as national judgment. Psalm 11:3, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to show you something you never saw before in your life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Hey, listen to me now. And shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Now watch this little statement here. And will heal their land. Now circle that. And will heal their land. Now what does that mean? That means that in America, the United States of America belongs to God's people. Don't miss this. It means that in Mexico, that the nation of Mexico belongs to the Christians of Mexico. It means that those in Great Britain
that Great Britain belongs. It says there, their land. It's a possessive term. It means that the land belongs to God's people. That means that America does not belong to Mr. Anderson over here, and it does not belong to those who wreck our morals and destroy. Do you know why you're disagreeing with me mentally right now? Because you were trained in a humanistic school. Yeah, you went down to the zoo down in Austin, and you went to the zoo down in Houston. Yeah, you went to some state university that told you you have no right to violate God's rights. Hey, God knows how a nation ought to be run. God knows how it ought to be run. Young lady, hey, put your feet down. Sit like a lady. And God expects us. Look, is that not what it says there? It says their land. Is anybody listening? It says their land. So, in the nation Israel, guess what? There were some people who are part of the nation Israel that were not God's people. And God said the people that hold the future of that land are not the heathen, the mixed multitude in that land. The mixed multitude don't hold the future of that land because it's not their land. Hey, if you want to really become a real American, get born again this morning. Get saved this morning. Their land, he said. Oh, I could take you to Germany. The German nation belongs to the German Christians of that nation. I could take you to Poland. Those poor Polish people. And you know how Germany took it. They were backing in and told them they were just leaving. And but the Polish people, I'm just kidding. Don't look at me that way. I'm just joking with you. Have a little sense of humor, boy. And we got two Polacks here, and they're mad already. And bad part about it is they don't even know what they're mad about. But I'll explain it to you after the service. But it's the nation. Well, look at this. See if I can preach this crowd for a while. And the nation, the Polish nation, does not belong to the people of Poland. It belongs to God's people that are in Poland. Oh, the same thing is true with Russia. Same thing is true with Italians. Same thing is true with the Chinese and the Japanese. Same thing is true with the Egyptians. Same thing is true with the Israelites. The nation Israel today does not belong to the people who are inhabiting that land. It belongs to those that are born again. And by the way, let me stop and say, there are a lot of preachers around the country that are saying Jews get saved differently than Gentiles do. And I want you to know that's heresy. That's not in the Bible. If anybody gets saved, they've got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me now. So that nation. So God is saying here, so what do we have to understand? Several things here. First of all, he said in verse 14, if my people, underline that. The first thing you got to understand, if the ruination of a nation and the salvation of a nation depends on God's people whose land it belongs to. It does not depend on people who don't own the land. Listen, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, there's going to be a title deed. They'll look at that title deed and they'll try to figure out who can take the title deed back. The devil's had it all of these 2,000 years. And I want you to know one of these days they're going to look up and they're going to see the Lamb. And the Lamb is going to say, and they're going to sing, the Lamb is worthy, the Lamb is worthy. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take that title deed from the devil. He's going to take it back and open it up. And I'm telling you, this Lamb, this world, this universe belongs to God's people. Those that don't like God, those that are against God will be burning in hell forever and ever and ever. And all of God's creation will belong to God's people. Thank God I'm saved.
Calm down, son. You're a Yankee. You're not supposed to get excited. Now, understand something here. You got to understand, God is saying this. He said, if my people. So the ruination or the salvation of a nation. Look, Mr. Anderson is not ruining this nation. It's those Baptist deacons from First Baptist Church that went down there the other day and they got their license number and they know who they are. And I'm trying to get the names because I'm going to run it in the paper and I'm going to preach a whole sermon about it on a Sunday night. And if we catch any deacon from this church going down to those godless places, we'll preach your name too. It's not Mr. Anderson that makes the difference. It's you people sitting in this room who claim to be saved. This land belongs to us. If my people. So the United States of America, Bob Bowen, belongs to you and belongs to me. Longview, Texas belongs to us Christians.
Our problem is, and look, I'll tell you quite simply, if you get all the people who claim to be born again out of the Rio down here, they wouldn't have any business. Come on, help me now. If you took every child of God that was backslid and got them out of all the taverns and the bars and quit buying Playboy magazine and you lustful magazine, I promise you, it shut the stinking outfit down. If my people. So America belongs to us. How come you're mistreating it? If my people, look what else he said. Which are called by my name. Let's see, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Anyway, shall. I like that name, amen. And shall humble themselves. Now, what's that mean, the word humble? It means come under. It means come under. Are you willing to come under the King James Bible? That's what it means. It means if God's people, you rebels here tonight, you rebels that are here, I don't like the preacher. I don't like him running this thing. I think the board ought to run this thing. I think, hey, take your sunglasses off. We're in church. You're not blind. And I don't like the preacher. He's too much of it. Won't come under, huh? Well, you're the kind that causes a nation to go under if you won't come under. I'm telling you, listen to me, America has got so many rebels. America's got so many folks that fight the law, fight the laws of the land and fight the moral laws. It's time that God's people came under. Let me ask you a question. How can you sign something saying I'm going to be in the choir, not smoke? And then smoke, you're not coming under. Answer me something. How can you be an usher in this church and say you're not going to smoke and dip and carry on and cuss? Smile at me, children. How can you say that and then do it? You're not coming under. How can you say to yourself, I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher and allow your kids to listen to Petra and allow your girls to dress not like they ought to dress? How come? What's the matter? Can't you get the brat to come under? Help me now. Brother, America's in trouble because we got a bunch of rebels that won't come under. God said, my people, the nation belongs to you. Why don't you come under? I guarantee you go to camp this summer, don't come under. He's coming home. If he doesn't come under, Brother Bowen's coming over. Yeah, man. Well, it's summertime, and I'm not in the academy now, and I'm not under the handbook, but how about God's book? Amen. So I was thinking about joining. I don't think I'm going to join. Well, I might as well find out now, huh? Why don't you come under? And by the way, the people who come under are grinning now. The ones that are rebels are frowning now. It's like you young couples getting ready to get married. I'm counseling with you. I haven't seen you soul winning since you agreed to get married. Amen. How in God's name do you expect that child to be raised in a godly home if the parents won't come under? How can you'll just see one day the kid won't come under. I said, humble yourself. Why? This is our nation. This is our nation. This is our nation. Gasp. I hate to tell you this, but God knows how to run this nation better than you do. I get so aggravated. I watched one of those programs one day. I don't know what it was. There's a bunch of politicians arguing back and forth. I got so mad. I wanted to put, young lady, sit down like a lady. Put your feet down. Sit down like a lady. I wanted to put my foot through that stinking television set in that motel room, but I didn't have an American Express card. I had to pay for it. But the guys, the one politician said, well, he said, prohibition didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? Who said it didn't work? Who said it didn't work? It worked. The liberals are the ones saying it didn't work. Worked for Billy Sunday. He dried up Pittsburgh in 1 week. Amen. I'm telling you what's wrong. Listen, this is our land. It belongs to God. And the title deed is in Jesus' name. And someday he's going to put his feet back down on this ground. And we're going to rule and reign with him. It's our nation. It's our nation. So you got to understand it. My people, what do you do? Humble yourself. Next, pray. Asking and receiving. It'd be a shame if we asked this morning, honestly, how many people in this room prayed this week. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame. You know, the devil came down to Dallas and said to Mr. Anderson, why don't you move to Longview? Because it's a place of least resistance. Some devil in charge of him. Girl, sit up straight. Everybody sit up straight. Look at me. Listen to me while I'm preaching. All the devils, whoever the devil's in charge of Dallas, whatever devil it is, is in charge of Michelle Jackson and others, said, why don't you go to Longview? Least resistance there. God's not getting much request from Longview. Not much activity spiritually going on for God down there. Why don't you move over there? I think maybe you can get away with it there. And got away with it, they have. Pray. Pray. What else? Seek my face. How to do that? Right there, the book. The book. Why don't you seek God's face through the book? I wonder why all the nude places coming in Longview. Place of least resistance. You get on the job and laugh about it. Some of you didn't even sign the petitions that were given. Come on, talk to me now. The mayor came by and saw me Friday. The mayor looks at this church as a spearhead for the spiritual side of it. Are we? If my people. It's us. If my people. He said, humble, come under, pray, seek my face, that's the book, and turn from their wicked ways. Petra. It's wicked. Religious rock music is wicked. Let me read you something. Boy, if this doesn't break your heart, I don't know what in the world to do. This is a statement that has been sent to the United States of America by the Baptist Christians in Russia. The two leaders signed it. They gave it to the major. And nobody's reading it. They won't even print it. Let me read it to you. An urgent message to the churches of America from the persecuted churches in Russia. Quote, for 30 years we've suffered intense persecution, and now freedom is bringing another great harm to our churches. This damage is coming from the Christians in America who are sending rock music and evangelists accompanied by rock bands. Our young people do not attend these meetings because we have all committed not to participate in secular entertainment. This is a great burden to our hearts. Many came with Bible in hand and rock music. We are embarrassed by this image of Christianity. We do not know what words to use in urging that this be stopped. We abhor all Christian rock music coming to our country. Rock music has nothing in common with ministry or service to God. We are very, very, very against Christian Americans bringing to our country the false image of ministry to God. We need spiritual bread. Please give us true bread, not false cakes. It is true that rock music attracts people to the church, but not to godly living. We were in prison for 15 years and 11 years for Christ's sake. We were not allowed to have Christian music, but rock music was used as a weapon against us day and night to destroy our souls. We could only resist with much prayer and fasting. Now we have a time of more openness and we are no longer taken to prison. However, now it is Christians from America who damage our souls. We do not allow this music in our church, but they rent big stadiums and infect teenagers and adults with rock music. We, the leadership and congregation, the Unregistered Union of Churches, the former persecuted church, have made an agreement not to allow rock music in our church. We urge you to join with us and we advise you to remove rock music from America and certainly do not bring it to our country. Do not desecrate our teenagers with it. Even the unbelievers recognize it unholy music, and they can understand how American Christians can be so much like the world. We can give you the conclusion that after Russian unbelievers have attended these rock concerts where Christ's word was preached, the people were very disappointed and disillusioned with Christianity. We call this music from hell. They call it music from hell. We urge all Americans to stop giving money for the organization of such concerts in Russia. We want only traditional Christian music in our churches. This is the unanimous decision of all our leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. In town, they may look at us and think that we're the piltdown generation. And they may think, buddy, yeah, they're from the 50s and not the 90s. And we may seem out of date as far as this world is concerned. But I'm telling you, we're right in step with heaven. 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 Hey, I'm glad to be an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist Christian. I'm not ashamed of it. But what's your radio dial set on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turn from our wicked ways. I'm so sick of hearing about sin, results of it. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. Look what else it says. Then, verse 14, he said, if, and then he said, then. So it's up to us. If we'll do some things, then will I hear from heaven and will he forgive their sin and will heal their land. But making difference, if Russia, he'll heal it. If it's China, he'll heal it. If it's America, he'll heal it. And if it's Longview, Texas, he'll heal it too. But here's the problem. The problem is we got choir members. Listen to music you shouldn't listen to. And then you wonder why God's not blessing America. You got orchestra members listening to things and looking at things and looking at TV programs you ain't got no business looking at, and we wonder why God's not healing our land. Do you know the mayor was supposed to lose that election? You knew that, didn't you? You knew that the local paper was behind that what's her name? And I believe with all my heart this church made a difference. Mayor told me Friday that everywhere I went, I met couples from your church. Said, we're voting for you, Mayor. We're voting for you. Amen. Amen. You can make a difference. But go home and clean your stinking closet. Hey, listen to me. Clean your closet out. Well, we just might. You ain't coming back tonight. We just might have just lay it out, hadn't we? Never saw my mom in a pair of pants. Never saw my grandma in a pair of pants. Hey, pick up that paper. Pick up that paper. Hey, pick up that paper. Good night, you're not born in a barn. Pick up the paper. Pick that paper up the grass. I'll come over and slap you, boy. What's the matter? You born in a barn or what? Never saw my mom in a pair. Never saw my grandma in a pair. And funny thing, we didn't know anything about AIDS. If you women knew what you look like from the rear end. You say, but they're ladies' slacks. They ain't no slack or no slacks. I like old Ron Garris. Was walking into the mall with the preacher. He grabbed the preacher and threw him to the floor and jumped on top of him. Threw him down. And his wife went over of the preacher and leaned over and said, Brother Garris, have you gone crazy? He said, no, ma'am, I just saved his life. I said, what do you mean you saved his life? He said, look down the aisle. Down the aisle was this woman in a pair of elastic pants. Two sizes too small, but she was in them. He said, lady, when those things bust, it's going to kill a lot of people. He said, saved your husband's life. Saved his life. Go ahead and frown, but America is a lot better off. We had some standards, and men look like men, and women look like women. Let me tell you something. Go ahead, dress alike, have unisex alike, and you'll spread the AIDS even more. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a... You say, you don't believe God's bringing judgment on America? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Where were you church members last week? Where were you? What church were you going to? Where were you? That's what's wrong with America. Because you're as faithful to your church as you are to your wife, probably. America. The ruination and salvation of her. I don't know about you, but I love America. How about you? But that flag does something to me. These flags all over, it does, just does something to me. I pull down, saw those flags waving out there. Man, I want to get a gun and go to Iwo Jima. Bless God, I want to get an AK-47 and take a hill, man. I'm just telling you, you make the difference. This is your land. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed.